Amazing. I'm totally amazed how you could find out so much detail, personal detail. It was really, I will never forget this day. Let me see, what is your good name? It's here. Bhumika, right? Hare Krishna, very pleased to meet you and all of you. We had yesterday a very nice kirtan event here in Berlin with, imagine, well above a huge hall full of people who were uplifted by the holy name and its inherent Shakti. They gave up their German skepticism and raised their hands and danced. So it became quite late until we were back, but I'm very happy now to share a little kirtan with all of you. I request you for your kirtan experience to sit straight. Please find a peaceful place. Maybe it's all right to sit on chairs. It's perfectly all right because you are needing to look into your laptop. And let us now see. We will now spend a little time where it's just us and Krishna. We are calling out Krishna's name and he's there. He's absolutely there. I have with me here Gokrishna. I will show you. One moment, let me see. Yes, here. This is Gokrishna. Together we are doing many kirtans all over the world. So you are getting a live experience of the Gokrishna Bhajan Band here. Hare Krishna. So good. Please fold your hands. Namo Vishnu Padaya. You can chant with me. Krishna Prishtaya Utale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Satarine. Everybody please. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Please sing. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And everyone, one more time, take again your hands before you and chant like you really mean it. It's very important when we are chanting, we are addressing Krishna. If you send a letter which has no address on it, it will never reach. So if you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, but you are not addressing Krishna, you know, calling out for Krishna, it might not reach, and you might have a lot of dry chanting in your life. So let us bring our hands in this position and let us chant, really being mindful of Krishna. Let us start now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
recording in progress,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Prabhu Parat, Jaya Prabhu Parat, Jaya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Sundarada, Shama Sundarada, Shama Sundarade, Radha Shama Sundarada, Shama Sundarada, Shama Sundarade. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. It gives me a great pleasure to address all of you today. I will just need to fix something on the computer. Yes. This arrow. I would like to address you on the subject which was announced. Got to go back to Godhead. GTG PTG. When Srila Prabhupada appeared, he was delineating a precise path with a precise goal and end, that is the eternal kingdom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As our movement has grown in its and its laudable and praiseworthy attempts to reach out to many people, something else has happened. Next to the desirable and admirable goals, there is an op which we have attained. Huge congregations, so much wealth that we could build these amazing projects over India, all over the world, really. But perhaps some of the this is the observation of some of our older devotees. In the process, the focus has shifted a little bit. Now, devotees are not singing any longer. Or no longer living their life with a goal to go back to Godhead. No, they have other goals. In fact, some of them are frightened at the prospect to leave all this, to leave the world of attachment, of wealth, of Rolexes, of fast cars, of good computers, they have made a nice nest for themselves, which will not really bring them back to Godhead. There's also something like peer pressure. They are very much concerned how they will be appreciated by others. There's FOMO. FOMO is a word which means fear of missing out. Oh, I need to be there, I need to be there, I need to be there. There's a lot of desire to get likes on the Facebook and so on. And their attachments to the world have unfortunately grown. In the Bhagavatam we hear that there is one strong enemy of the devotee. The devotee's worstest enemy is to pursue other interests than his or her own self-realization or advancing in Krishna consciousness. If our focus gets diverted to these other interests, it is a great problem. And unfortunately, this will happen to the majority of people who join a movement like ours. There is a statistic, it is a hidden statistic. You will not hear it from many speakers because it is a statistic which will shock you, but it can also, if you hear it properly, motivate you intensely. Let us take the amount of people who join our movement. What happens with them? 10% of them will become critical, disenchanted, and they might leave the movement. Not entirely. They will post bad things on the internet. This is 10%. It is a small amount. 10% of those who join our movement will become very enthusiastic. They will be very inspired. They will take up responsibilities. They will develop their authentic path in Krishna consciousness. And they will make a change in the world. This is another 10%. These two percentages are not a high statistical figure. 10% the disenchanted, 10% the super enthusiastic. The biggest percentage of the people who join our movement is composed of 80%. This group in the middle. Who is this 80%? Well, these 80% are devotees who are somewhat fine with Krishna consciousness. Yes, they believe in Krishna. Yes, they come to Darshan, to our ISKCON Noida. What is the name of our presiding deities, please? Bhumika, please inform me.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, Shishi Radha Govindadev.
Shishi Radha Govindadev. They will come to Shishi Radha Govindadev's darshan. When there is Janmashtami, they will be there. They will be when you visit their homes, you will find pictures of Radha. Shishi Radha Govindadev of Srila Prabhupada. They are fine with Krishna consciousness. It's okay for them. They believe in it. But they are not invested to transform their heart, to see how they can move to the next level, which is waiting for them. They are chanting some rounds, those who are initiated, they sometimes have the pain in the heart that they are not able to complete their 16 rounds each day. They are our people. But the enthusiasm for spiritual progress has waned down. They are not in the GTG, BTG category. I'm taking this from this thing. Would you agree with me? Have you thought about this? I know I can't hear you and so on. Think about it. I think some of you are not yet thinking. You have to think a little bit more intense. I can feel it. I can feel it in can feel my group today. 10% are becoming super enthusiastic. 10% are drifting away. 80% of our members are fine with Krishna consciousness. They believe in Krishna consciousness, but their purpose is not to purify their heart, to transform, to develop love of Godhead. They are mixing their spiritual life with too many material attachments. This is a statistical percentage, which is, for some of us, it could become discouraging to hear it. For others, it can be, and I hope to address this group amongst you, highly motivating. Let me not fall back in my spiritual journey. Let me move forward and become part of that group who is happy in spiritual life. Those who are, let us say, just conventional devotees, who just, they don't take any responsibility, they don't think so much about their service as they think about their career and so on. You can say, what's wrong with them, Maharaj? The answer is, they are not happy. You cannot close the God-shaped vacuum in the heart, that emptiness in the heart, with any material things or a mixture of material and spiritual things. It's not possible. You will remain deep inside, not satisfied, not fulfilled. Therefore, this is important to think about how we can move forward. Now in the Bhagavatam, there's a very interesting discussion. I think many of you are aware of some parts of the discussion because it is really famous. There was a great king, Prithu Maharaj, who once received the four Kumaras. He was there in his palace, surrounded by his ministers, and the four Kumaras came by the airways. They somehow entered through these open spaces, and they came into the palace shone like flames. They were so effulgent and so bright. Prithu Maharaj received them lovingly and respectfully. He was very glad to receive them because earlier Lord Vishnu had blessed him that he would meet these saints and they would answer all his questions. Prithu had questions not only for his own sake, but he thought of all the citizens of his kingdom. And so with a compassionate heart, he asked the four Kumaras, these great saintly people, Tadaham krita vishvamba surido vas tapasvinam sampriche bhava etasmin kshema kinayasa bhavet. I asked you, you are my well-wishers, Suridha, and you are the well-wishers of all the people. By what means will there be benefit or kshema for those who are suffering in this world. And the four Kumaras answered his questions that there is a medicine which will drive away the suffering of your citizens and all the citizens of the world. This medicine is a constant hearing of the Lord, his names, his qualities, which are like ornaments of the ear, precious rings with the rubies. This is what happens when we hear about Krishna. We are ornamenting our ears with the highest value. They get the highest value. And then the Kumaras made one observation. They didn't just say hearing and chanting, but they said bhakti develops one's detachment from matter, and it also develops one's attachment or rati to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah? So a real spiritual life has these two benefits. You become detached from your material FOMO, from your desire to have likes on Facebook, to increase your wealth and your prestige, and you become attached to Krishna. This is what happens when you develop bhakti. Once Srila Prabhupada was saying, every one of you can make a test on himself how advanced they are in Krishna consciousness by checking how much attached are we still to our name, to our recognition, to our career, and how much detached are we, and vice versa. How attached are we to Krishna, and how detached are we from Maya? Every one of you can make that litmus test in the heart and find out where they stand and where there is still room for improvement. This test you must do, my dear devotees. There are statistical investigation. Today I'm totally into statistics. I don't know what happened to me. regrets of the dying person. And you find consistently through the cultures, Western culture, Eastern culture, Germany, Great Britain, India, Noida, Moscow, all these dying people will say at the dying, at the deathbed, one regret, I mean there are many regrets, but one stands out as first and foremost. Oh, I have not taken all my opportunities and chances. So we who are here in Krishna consciousness, we have been given with a fantastic opportunity, we have been given the fantastic opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead, to go into the land of eternal bliss, where there is a dance on every step. That's enthusiasm, Bhumika. Every step is dancing, not just announcing, also walking. Enthusiasm, where we hear Krishna, and where is the kingdom of unconditioned love. Unconditioned. You are loved in all circumstances. So that's a big chance. That is a great, 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 great chance. We have here in Germany the situation that there are many people from war-ridden countries, Ukraine, Syria, who want to settle in Germany, and also many Indian students are there who want to study in Germany because the social system is very stable. You're insured. There's a very stable condition by and large, and poor people are taken care of by the, you know, by the part of the taxes and so on. I don't want to go here into detail. And they all want to come here, but when they come here, I've met them, they find out there's the same problem like at home. Upon enjoyment, there's frustration of enjoyment. There is a lot of anxiety to make the degrees in the university. They will find the amount of pleasure and pain is the same, only the names are different. The pleasures have different names, the sufferings have different names, but suffering and pain is the same. This is not the kingdom of God. So, but we know about the kingdom of God where there is no, not this amount of pleasure and pain, which is already fixed with our karma. And this is an opportunity. We should not join the list of people who regret, but we should utilize our chance. So the four Kumaras go on describing this, what we can describe the enemy of spiritual progress. I remember I was once on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada, and one of my godbrothers asked Prabhupada, what is the devotee's worst enemy? So Prabhupada said, he himself is his worst enemy. There is no outside enemy. He himself or she herself is the worst enemy. And then he said, you should not remain a nonsense. When Prabhupada spoke about nonsense, he spoke of, in relationship to devotees, he was referring to the maintaining material attachments, you know, in a big way. And so on. Yes, so he said like this. So what do we do with this? First of all, we need to understand what is there, what it is that blocks us. The Kumaras say it's thinking of sense gratification. Indriya Vishaya Krishtha Jayatam. The result of this is that the mind becomes agitated. Then the discriminating power of the intelligence is lost. Memory, what is right and wrong, goes. Knowledge is destroyed. And in this way, you begin to think of the wrong values, that is, of money and its use for sense gratification, and ultimately all your spiritual goals go on the side. Sometimes they disappear, and then one gains entrance into immovable, into the life forms, you know. If you wish to make advancement, you have to see how you can work with your, let us say, attachment. We all need to be attached to something. We are living beings. Prabhupada makes it very clear. Inside of our hearts, we are full of Ananda, so therefore we always will look for Ananda. It is natural, my dear everyone. You will look for happiness. So you need to see in your spiritual life what are favorable attachments, or how can you become attached to spiritual things that fan your spiritual spark and make it into a fire, an enthusiastic fire, like Bhumika's announcements. You know, we have to see, but how does this work for us? How will this, how will I come to this stage? And my dear audience, my dear devotees, there is a very important secret about how to shift our attachment from material to spiritual things. It's not done only by chanting and only by hearing, although that is the main ingredient. There must be something else. If you wish to become more attached to Krishna, you must see that you can find a personal service where you take on personal responsibility. There is a very nice event in Ramlila. You will like very much. You remember when Hanuman, after Hanuman had jumped over the ocean and landed on Lanka, he wanted to find Sita. So he did not know where Ravana had kept her, and therefore he made a search all over Lanka. And amongst his, you know, as he was searching, it was in the night time, he looked into the houses of the various Rakshasas to see maybe Sita was kept as a captive in one of the houses. So in his search, he came to one particular house. There was still light in the house. It must have been around 12 o'clock, midnight. And he saw from the back that in this house there was an altar, and on the altar he discovered his beloved Lord Ram. He was amazed. I mean, Rakshasas don't worship God, but here was the house of a Rakshasa, and there was Ram on his altar. And then he saw the Rakshasa from the back. He was ringing a bell and offering an aarti, and Hanuman thought, what is this? Not only is my Lord on the altar, he's worshipped with an aarti at midnight. What a strange time. What is this? He could no longer understand. So then he somehow made his entry into the house. Perhaps he broke into the door, or and the Rakshasa was startled. The bell fell out of his hand, and Hanuman just gasped and said, who are you and what are you doing? Rakshasa was equally startled. Who are you? He asked. So there was a moment of confusion. And then I think you know who this Rakshasa was. He was the brother of Ravan, Vibhishan. And Hanuman said, I did not know that there is a worshipper of my Lord here. Wonderful. Then Vibhishan, he said to Hanuman, oh, I am so blessed. I see the first and foremost servitor of my Lord Ram. Then he started to cry. But tell me, how have you obtained Ram's close service? How is it that you are always with him and never separated from him? I am also worshipping, I'm chanting his name, Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Patita Pavana Sitaram. I'm also chanting and worshipping. Then Hanuman said something very important. Please take, now you have to be very attentive. He said, it's not enough to only chant Lord Rama's name. It's not enough to only hear about Lord Rama. You must also serve him. By engaging in devotional service, our heart gets chanted. Now, this is something I heard Germans are sometimes, one of my English friend always said, the Germans are so thoughtful. Is that normal? Please, Maharaj, give me a break. You are so, I hope you are able to think on the other side. There is something. You can become Krishna consciousness by only chanting the holy name, but you will not make it, you will not chant it, if you don't chant the holy name in a service mode. Therefore, the meaning of the holy name is, please engage me in your service. There's only one way in which we can relate to God. There's only one place where we can stand when we are before the God and that, before the Lord. That is the place of a servant. If you don't approach the Lord with the service mode, then you are not in your you are not yet in your natural position, your natural life, your authentic life. So yes, you can chant in a service mode. Yesterday in the concert, it was not very easy for all of us. You know, it was just so many factors were there. You know, there's so many people came in, and it was overcrowded and. And you know, it was in the beginning, it was a difficult crowd. There were absolutely new Germans, and Germans are very skeptical. They are not like Indians, and so on. And we just chanted in a service mode, and we are trying our best to please you, our dear Lord. Please accept our service. And somehow Krishna was satisfied at the end. You should have seen how they danced. I've never seen such dancing in our movement even. Well, maybe sometimes, yes, when they are very intense kirtan. I'm sometimes known to to lead such kirtans. Then there's a lot of dancing, yes, but good. So the point we all have to face in our life, how can I lift the anchor to material life? And so that I can really go on that path back to God. And the answer is very, very easy. You have to first hear about Krishna. That is the answer of the Kumaras. And then you have to practice the detachment from matter. And that comes always by replacing your lower attachment with a higher attachment. We can't do without any attachment. And so that is how we have to move forward. I now want to see, let me just see. Yes, I'm looking now at the time. I think it's nice. We don't have so many participants this on this Zoom call, so that the advantage of this is that it's a little bit more personal, more private, and we can ask, we can take good time to ask questions and receive perhaps some answers. I believe I have addressed some very, very important points. Which I think you will very which we all have to think about, and I want to ask you, do you have any questions so far? Yes, there's Hemant Kumar and one other. I believe our Bhumika, you are arranging it that we can. Will I be able to hear our Hemant? Good. Hemant, and every yeah, please allow me. I'm now an elderly man. You're all very young. I need to take at a certain time my pills. Can I take, Hemant? Do you give your permission? Good. Good, 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 good. Okay, fine. It takes just 1 minute. Just wait, because my assistant points out I need to take 5 of these natural herbal medicine. So here we go, and then need to take this is called Life Plus. I will live now. It's Sanjeevani. I will live for 100 years. Happy life. One moment. If you will allow me, just I'm just. please don't mind me. Please excuse me, my doctor would kill me if I would not have done this. I mean, yes. So Hemant, please ask your question.
Hare Krishna, Madhav, Dandavat Pranamal. Madhav, my question is, recently in the Bhakti Shastri course, we read that if someone has done some sin, right, he or she is continuously following the Krishna consciousness, they are doing the bhakti and everything, so we should consider them as a bhakt only and we should respect them. Now my question is, if because of any knowingly, even though the person going to do something wrong, knowingly but due to the circumstances, due to some association of the people, who he or she did some wrong thing, but knowingly, But after that, he is having the realization that this is not the right thing, and he or she perform doing the bhakti regularly and with the guilt that I could not follow one of the four niyam right because of any unconditioned circumstances. So how should the person take it forward, and how can he or she can come out from that guilt?
In our shastras, we find examples of people who have knowingly committed sin, but who were still accepted by the Lord. Consider Ajamil. In his young days, he studied the scriptures. He was a Brahmana who was fully trained in Brahminical knowledge, but still, due to unfortunate association, he fell from the path and committed so many atrocities. We are well familiar, I think, with the life story of Ajamil, and at the end he was he was pardoned by the Lord, although he had done this. He was not given love of Godhead immediately. He was given a second chance to live a sinless life. And he went to Haridwar and he practiced, I heard, for several years the path of Krishna consciousness, you know, hearing and chanting. And at the end he was taken back home, back to Godhead. So there are stories in the scriptures of people who, due to material attachments, can, how do you say, who cannot follow what they know is the best path. They are not able to. And they have slip here and there, and that is pardoned provided there are two things which are not done. One is if one commits sins on the strength of chanting. You do something and you say, okay, I can now take the holy name, and then my sins will be neutralized. You know, in Germany we have pills, I think in India also, when someone eats too much, I mean really too much, he gets burning sensation in the stomach, but then there are pills you can take which bring down the burning sensation, so that again someone can totally overeat. So if you take the Krishna, holy name, as a means to neutralize your sinful activity, then this is very, this is not pardonable. That's not, that will not be excused. The second thing is when you do, when someone does things which are not for the ultimate good of himself, and but if he then makes an excuse in his mind, turning the facts and thinking, no, this is good, I'm a good devotee, and pretends to be a good devotee, then that is also not appreciated by the Lord. The Lord is Patita Bhavana, the savior of the fallen, not the Kapata Bhavana, the savior of the pretenders. the Lord, if one doesn't do intentionally sins, thinking that the counting on the goodwill of the Lord, you know, or neutral, hoping to neutralize his things with the chanting, and the other is if one doesn't, so to say, pretend that this is all right, then your fallen soul and the Lord will eventually, if you stick to the path of bhakti, the obstacles will become removed from your path and you will move forward with strength. Yes, Himanshi, thank you. That was a wonderful question. And please, everyone on the call, feel encouraged to ask such personal questions, because we have a very, you know, this is a more private call amongst the students of the, I think, the Bhaktivedanta. You have an academy, isn't it, the Bhaktivedanta? Yes. Good. So I see there's another hand, Lavanya Agrawal. Yes, Hare Krishna, Lavanya.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, the not now, please accept my humble obeisances. Maharaj, I have a question that how we should pray to get mercy in spiritual life.
There is a wonderful prayer. I will request Gokrishna, who is with us. Gokrishna, can you give me a living name, please? There is a prayer which moves the heart 100%. It is from the Padma Purana. It is said that anyone who prays this prayer regularly will attain the kingdom of God. I want to chant this prayer for all of us because I believe this very powerful prayer is in the interest of everyone. I can't imagine that there's anyone on this call who doesn't want or doesn't need mercy also. So let me find this prayer. I know it in Sanskrit, but I want to have the exact translation for all of you. That's very beautiful. Samsara sagadanata putra mitra grihakulat gopta ramme yuvam eva prapanam bhaya banjano. And it ends. Sharanam vam papanosmi karuna karuna karo prasaram kurutam dasye mayi dushte pararini. One should pray, O Shri Shri Radha and Krishna, please rescue me from the ocean of birth and death. Please break into pieces the fears of your surrendered devotee. And it goes through wonderful ideas in the next verse. One prays that, please, I'm placing myself today at your lotus feet. Then one acknowledges his past mistakes. I'm the home of all offenses. I have abandoned all spiritual duties. I have no shelter. O Shri Shri Radha and Krishna, become my shelter. And then it expresses one's desire to serve the divine couple with thoughts, words, and deeds. And finally, it ends, O Shri Shri Radha and Krishna, you are like two oceans, two great oceans, of mercy, please be merciful to me. I take shelter of you. I surrender to you. Please engage me, a sinner and an offender, in your service. This from the, it is quoted in Padma Purana, but it comes in originally in the Sanat Kumar Samhita, and we find an assurance that anyone who chants these five prayers daily will quickly attain the direct service of the divine couple. I suggest, Bhumika, if you give me send to Gokrishna, I think you must have been in contact with him, he's my assistant, a good WhatsApp number, then we can make a photo of this prayer from the pages of this book, and you can then send it to those who are interested. I think Lavanya is interested, and those other devotees here who are also interested, they can, you can get in contact with Bhumika, and she can send it on WhatsApp to you. No, is it a good idea?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes.
Maharaj.
Yeah.
I have a
One moment, Gokrishna is saying something.
We are in contact with the person in charge, is Buddhimanta Prabhu.
Ah, Buddhimanta Prabhu. We are in contact with Buddhimanta Prabhu.
And his son Achyuta Katha.
And Achyuta Katha. Achyuta Katha. So let us go through that line, you know, because we are already in contact. We sent to them. Good. Fine. Yes, Bhumika, you wanted to say something?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, if you allow me, so there is one question in the in the chat box. May I read it for you?
Yes.
So I read here. Hare Krishna Maharaj, sometimes we get carried away with anger. How can we try to bring Krishna at that time in the center?
How wonderful. Sometimes we get carried away by anger. How can we bring Krishna at that time in the center? This is almost a rhyme. I'm at the moment writing a new book, and this is one of my subjects. Now you must concentrate. The answers won't be a simple answer. You have heard many simple answers. You need now something that will work very much. I could just say chant Hare Krishna, but you're doing that, and it doesn't always work. There is in the 11th canto a very, very important instruction how to deal with all kinds of disturbances, anger, lust, and greed. This method is to come into the observer role, the neutral observer role. What is that? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur considered his main contribution to Gaudiya Vaishnavism is understanding to differentiate between the seer and the seen. I hope you use your intelligence. Please, don't become tired with your intelligence. You need to tune it in now. That is, there is a difference between me and the objects which I see. When I'm drowning in the river, I'm not seeing, I'm only see water. But when I'm out of the river and I see it from the distance, I see a river meandering through the countryside. And the neutral observer is a position which is important to take. In psychology, this is discussed, it is said, between the stimulus and your reaction. There is a little gap. Don't worry, it will become very simple in a moment. There is a little gap, and in that gap lies your freedom to choose your reaction. Something happens. Now, before you react, you can stop, see what is happening to you, and then choose a mature response. Krishna talks about this in the Bhagavad Gita, in the fifth chapter of the Gita, where he says, the wise person sees, and when he is seeing things, hearing things, giving things away, accepting things, that only the body acts, but he himself does nothing at all. For someone who is totally attached and connected and entangled with the body, he cannot go into this neutral observer position. It is not possible. But only someone who can detach himself from this, who is spiritually mature, can do it. I want to give you now an example from my own life. Once in Vrindavan, I chanted. It was a hot day and I needed to take shelter in the shade of a tree. And as I was chanting, there was a nice rain washing over me. And I was very pleasantly surprised. Oh, nice summer rain had come. But then I smelled the rain, I looked up, and oh no, it was not a summer rain. It was a monkey who had relieved himself, and his monkey urine washed over me, and you know, you are from India, you know, it smells really bad. And my mind was going, oh no, bacteria, diarrhea, terrible diseases will now come to me. I felt just anger rising in me like anything. So I washed out for a stone. You know, and wanted to just throw it at the monkey, but the monkey was not at all impressed with me. He was not afraid. He just got into the attacking mood. He was a big monkey, and there would have been a violent conflict. You know, he would most probably have overwhelmed me most probably. So one sadhu was there. And he said, no, 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 don't. I have an umbrella. And he went inside his kutia and got an umbrella for me. And I was thinking about this. Yes, it would have been foolish to get into a fight with a monkey. Most probably he would have called his friends and they would have bitten me. And also I'm a devotee. I don't want to fight with anyone. That was previously, but now who wants to fight with anyone? I thought afterwards, anger was rising. I applied this neutral observer and I looked at the scene a little bit like a mobile camera will look at something. The mobile camera sees everything, or the handy camera, but it has no judgment. It has no likes or dislikes. It just records things in a neutral observer way. So this Shakshit Vena, this is how the Lord Krishna explains it, this stepping back into the neutral observer position, that will help you to overcome the rise of anger. So this is what you should do. I make it now very simple and very practical. Do we have any daily traffic lights, or does everything go by feeling the traffic? There must be traffic lights, yes. So in traffic lights, it goes red, the light goes red, then it goes on yellow, it jumps on yellow, then finally green. So you have to have something like an emotional traffic light. Red means stop, don't react immediately. Yes, you feel restless, you feel revengeful, you feel hurt, you feel upset, but don't immediately act. There's a gap. You can use this gap. Just don't, stop. Then switch to red. Yellow. That is, reflect. Oh, what is going on? Oh, I see anger is rising, or lust is rising, or greed is rising, or envy is rising, or any of these ripus, these enemies which are around the heart, you know, that they and who can overwhelm us at times. They are rising. Oh, so often I have given up, given in to anger. So often I have given in to lust. So often I have given in to greed and envy, and I have just become miserable. I don't want to give in. Is there a more mature response? And the more mature response, you will come. It will happen when, you, for instance, there's a something upset you, and you could now talk back to the person, or write a bad comment on the Facebook to the person, or so. You could think, is there a better way? Can I do something that is more proactive, that is more wise, that brings everything to a better solution? And if you, and then after you have found the solution, you can do. And in my case, when the sadhu had said no, don't, when he had, I laughed and I went to the shower. I took an immediate shower to get the stench off. But I took a new set of a new shirt, new clothes, because this is really, and I needed to give that to Adobe, who, and I told him hot water, it was monkey urine, you know, and he did a fine job, the Adobe. And then I went back and I thought, yes, I'm here in the, most probably that's the place where the monkeys usually, it's their meeting place. I'm occupying their space. I'm therefore that monkey wanted to get rid of me with his action. So I said, maybe I look for another tree. I don't need to disturb the monkeys. And I went to another tree, and I had the umbrella of the sadhu next to me in case such a thing would happen again, but nothing happened again.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
So, wait. I want to make sure that you understand. So, when something happens, what was the first reaction? Stop. Go on red. Then the next thing is reflect. What is a wiser reaction? Choose a good reaction and then go on green and implement it. Yes, I just wanted to summarize so that it's clear. Thank you very much. Please speak.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, there is one more question in the chat box. So if you allow, Mary.
Yes, if we can make that the last question, that is very, very nice. And then maybe you want to round it up and so on. I also want to say something to all of you at the end. Yes, so what is the last question, please?
Yes, Maharaj. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Lord is Patit Pavan, not Kapat Pavan. In material world definition of Kapat is gross. But what are subtle Kapat and devotional service a devotee can do? And how to take precautions that we don't do Kapat and devotional service?
You have to find your authentic path in devotional service. There's a very nice devotee which I really encourage you to invite him. His name is Keshava Maharaj, Swayam Bhagavan Keshava Maharaj. You can look him up on the internet. He's based in London. He's traveling all over, and he is a disciple of the late His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. Once he came to Kadamba Kanana Maharaj and says, I want to play the harmonium like you and sing Jaya Radha Madhava like you sing. And Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, his spiritual master, told him, you will never be able to sing like me because you are not me. Just like I will never use acronyms in my lectures. He uses acronyms, you know, abbreviations to make his point very clear, which I think is a wonderful way to make things stick in the mind. But Kadamba Kanana Maharaj's point was very, very good. All places in the universe are occupied already. There is only one place which is not occupied, and that is your place. Why try to live the life of someone else? That is already occupied. So you need to find your authentic path in Krishna consciousness, the way you can express yourself in devotional service. You need to find your voice, if you so want, and then you don't need to pretend to be someone whom you are not. But as long as you have not found your own authentic voice, it's not. Like I remember, I like to sing. From childhood onwards, I like to sing many different songs, and I know many songs. I always surprise Gokrishna that I do remember many songs and the lines of the songs, because I was and I still am a music lover, but now it's only kirtan. But memory is there for everything, for not everything, but good memory is there. And when devotees started to ask me to lead kirtans, I always wanted to sing like Bhakti Charu Maharaj because I like his voice, his style very much, and he was a very personal friend of mine. Like so many of my god brothers, I'm blessed by wonderful association. So I wanted to sing like Bhakti Charu Maharaj, with a little Bengali accent, you know. But I noticed when I tried to do this in Bengal, people would just laugh about me. And I noticed that's not the right way for me. I have to sing like I can sing, and I'm that is, we all have to find our authentic way, otherwise it will be little ridiculous. It takes some time. We need to try many services and it will come. Or like when we give lectures, we need to find our authentic way. So I want to end, say something at the end, then I think our Bhumika will wind everything up, and will also invite you to future sessions, we call them energy classes. Wonderful. I hope I was not, let us say, too exhausted from yesterday's long night program. So let me just wound up. My dear everyone, I'm so happy to hear about your Bhaktivedanta. Please help me. Was it college or what is it called? Academy or? Please help
me. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Yes? It is Bhaktivedanta Academy.
Yes, Bhaktivedanta Academy. I'm so impressed by this because I'm strongly convinced if you want to invest in your future, you have to invest in your spiritual education. Because we always act upon what we know, our information. So if you study the beautiful philosophy, the comprehensive philosophy of Krishna consciousness in a good way, then something wonderful will happen. It's almost like, you know, if the caterpillar, do you know caterpillar? If the caterpillar wants to become a butterfly, he has to eat the leaves, and as he eats, something happens in his organism and he goes into a cocoon and comes out as a butterfly. So in the same way, when you are putting informations into your life, studying the books under the able guidance of our devotees who lead the academy, the result will be wonderful in your life. Things will change automatically. You will see there will be very positive changes, just like in the example of the caterpillar. If he eats his the proper food, which I do not know exactly what they eat, perhaps not rasgullas, but I don't know. So then everything will happen automatically. That's why the Kumara said, answered the question of Prithu Maharaj, the ultimate benefit for the citizens will be if they hear about Krishna. No? Then they should also practice detachment from matter and attachment to Krishna so that they can move on. Yes, and that detachment and attachment will come through this. So I want to encourage you. Education is never, let us say, a very, I don't know, it's not really for the masses when we address the I mean, of course, everyone should have their education, but when we give a public program, we will not talk so much philosophy, but more simple things. So, yes, it was a genuine pleasure to be your guest. I don't mind that there was only there were not so many participants, because this is what education means. You have a classroom full of people that is limited. So that was very, very nice. And I would love to get to see all of you if there is an opportunity. I come every year to, we have built a retreat center now with 240 beds, and of course the economy, sleeping facilities where many can come in a sleeping hall. It's the Govardhan Retreat Center, and we give Bhuvijam Prabhu and myself, we give regular retreats there in right after Kartik. You can look it up on the internet, Govardhan Retreat Center or Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education. I think Budhimanta Prabhu, and they will know, you know, where this is. And if some of you can make it, please make yourself known to me. There are usually many people around me, but please just come and say, we are from Bhaktivedanta Academy in Noida. We were together in the same classroom. Internet classroom. So that would be my great fortune to see you again, and then we can talk more personally and more privately perhaps. Good. I will end here. Please excuse me. I do have a lot to do today. There are four other big internet programs waiting for me, and in between I have to continue writing on the book. So Bhumika, will you allow me to sign off the call?
Yes, Maharaj, just 1 minute. On behalf of Bhaktivedanta Academy, Iskcon Noida, thank you so much, Maharaj, for taking out your time, for so patiently answering all the questions and giving us your mercy. This was truly an unforgettable experience, Maharaj. We pray to receive your mercy. We pray to receive more of your mercy, Maharaj, virtually or hopefully someday physically in Noida. Maharaj, maybe on transit to Vrindavan, you could give us some of your precious time. Now, we will allow all the participants to unmute themselves and say 3 times Hari Bol in gratitude to Maharaj. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for giving us your precious time.
Yes, and Bhumika, one thing, you gave a very nice introduction. I don't deserve that, but often people ask me, can you send us an introduction? You know, they have used from my webpage the introduction, and it's already used so many times, but you made a very creative new introduction. Would you be so kind to send that to Gokrishna, to his WhatsApp?
Maharaj, Academy will send this.
Academy, good. Please ask the Academy to send it. Very good.
Oh, okay, Maharaj. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.